number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines and excited to talk to our next guest because we always enjoy our conversations with the commissioner of Arena Football One and, of course, longtime Titans head coach Jeff Fisher is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Nice to be with you today.
I know you're excited because you got to make a little announcement up in Michigan yesterday, the Michigan Arsenal joining AF1.
Yes, in Saginaw, as a matter of fact, yes. We've been talking with Michigan for probably, 6 months. And, we announced several months ago that we had a team coming that we would be announcing in Michigan. So we got real specific yesterday, introduced the head coach and the ownership. And they got a great little venue. And, they're well-funded and they're going to be competitive right off the back. They got a head coach that's got a tremendous amount of experience at all levels. And we're just welcoming them one at a time.
So how many teams is AF1 up to now?
That would put us in 10. So, and we're right in the, we're still negotiating, still talking with several other venues and several other potential investment groups in with respect to expansion. We'll keep you posted on it. Things are looking good.
That's very cool. So the Michigan Arsenal will join AF1 starting this year. We wanted to kind of get your thoughts on some things going on with the Titans because you've lived this life before. In 1994, I guess it was Floyd calls you and says, hey, we want you to be the interim coach. We're making a coaching change. Now get out there and let's see what happens. How difficult was it to go in there? You had been the defensive coordinator. You take over as the head coach, and you got to get the buy-in from these players in less than a week before you turn around and play your next game.
Yeah, the next game was a Monday night game and against the Giants at home. I don't think it was difficult at all. I mean, things got pretty shaky and pretty rough during that season, early 94. A lot of contributing factors. In addition to injuries, you had, I'll remind you guys, that was the first year of the salary cap.
Right.
So we end up having to trim, Bud was paying players back then and we had to get down. So, you had all those great defensive players that you couldn't bring on the roster, former. And then, you had Warren Moon. We had to go with Cody Carlson and had a whole bunch of stuff going on. On top of that, we were a run and shoot offense. So we didn't have a fullback per se, nor a tight end. Now we had a tight end on the roster to help us practice and, help the defense, but we were primarily back then the four wide receiver run and shoot. So I quickly changed to one tight end and a fullback and a tailback and went to an I formation. So I went from basically four wide receivers down to two. Didn't sit very well with the number three and number four, but we got through it. And the big thing was just affect change, recognize everything that had gone wrong, admit to it, and then lay it out in front of them and do everything you possibly can to play hard and win a game. And reality is everybody, when these things happen, everybody's future is front and center. And so, as even though this was an early season change, still I think, people say guys are playing for their jobs. They're always playing for their jobs, but I think you see a little surge. There always is, when there's a mid-season coaching change, but reality starts to set in. You have a pretty good idea where you're at.
Coach Jeff Fisher's with us on the Chase and Big Joe show. And Jeff, I know you're enjoying the AF1. It's a lot of fun. I know things are moving and happening, but you, my friend, are a football coach. Would there be any scenario in this great world of ours where you would throw your name in the hat to be the coach of the Tennessee Titans? I got to ask you that.
I'm sorry you're breaking up. No, I'm kidding. I figured that was coming. I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. And You know, I don't think anything along those lines is going to happen. If they had any interest, I think they would have been interested, you know, years ago. But no, I'm good. But yeah, I know you got to ask the question on behalf of a lot of curious people. I'm getting a lot of texts and a lot of emails and a lot of phone calls. But you know, right now I got both dogs in the car and I'm heading to the cabin in Montana. So you know where to find me.
Well, and I mean, look, I hope it makes you feel good when I tell you this. There are a ton of texters on our text line that say they would love to have you back, and so that's where a lot of that comes from, is the fan base that, you know, they remember those good times that you had as the head coach, and they're like, hey, let's run it back one more time. So I'm sure that has to make you feel good.
And I do. I appreciate it. And then, you know, I come across people every day, you know, here in town. But, you know, it's been a hard few years for them, for the program. If you think about it now, if you include Coach McCoy, he had three head coaches in the last 3 years. And, you know, that's hard. And I know everybody's talking about, you know, Cam and the offense and this and that. You know, I'm hoping that Cam can continue to develop. You're seeing some things from him. There's so much future and so much promise for him in his career. I mean, he'll have division titles in his back pocket in a number of years. That's going to happen. He's too talented not to. But right now, I understand and appreciate the frustration of the fans and the organization. And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with their decision. I have a lot of respect for Brian and Bill. And, you know, I just wish, you know, you let people sort things out. He's got a young staff. And we all know the benefit of doing it when they did it, because the embarrassment, the potential embarrassment next weekend. But that ain't going to change. That's not going to change their approach to the game. So, no. I mean, and I think sometimes those things are, you know, they get over-exaggerated too. I mean, you got two head coaches on the sideline. They're going to do first things first. You're going to try to win the football game, and, you know, so be it. It's not like, you know, Rabel's waking up in the middle of the night in the middle of a dream where he's trying to decide to go for two to put him over 100. So,
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's going to put a plan together that gives them the best chance to win, and then they're going to go on to the next week. So
that's the way it happens, right?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I'd be more concerned. You know, I mean, it's interesting to watch the league a little bit. You feel so bad for a team like Baltimore that's always there, and you can see what happens when you have injuries at the wrong position and multiple injuries, you know, on a defensive side of the ball. It's hard to compete.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to ask you a question that you probably have never been asked. But we were curious, you know, when you got let go of the Rams, that was all part of that reality show on Amazon, and, you know, it all happened. Everybody saw that. I'm curious, Coach, what did you do the next day? Because you couldn't go to the office. Yeah. What did you do the next day? Did you go to the beach?
No, actually, I had a residence pretty close to, you know, the temporary facility that's still temporary, but I spent probably most of my time on the phone with the interim head coach. I did everything I possibly could to help John Fossil because he took over for me. And so it was the first time. It was a new world. And, you know, I talked to a lot of players that next day. And it was a short week after that. It was a Thursday game, I think. So it was a quick turnaround. And I happened to be there at the facility when they were going up to play Seattle. And I thought they were gone. I happened to catch the buses leaving. And I stood outside, held a new golden retriever puppy, and waved to everybody, gave him a thumbs up, told him to go win. He worked too hard for it. So I just kind of stay involved, you know, to a certain extent to help Coach Foster a little bit.
Jeff Fisher is on the line with us. One thing that we've talked about with Cam is, you know, just there's the talents there. It's raw. There's obviously things that have to be developed. We've talked with you before about the plan with Steve and that, you know, Steve sat, Vince sat, and how you don't really have that luxury as much anymore. But I can remember seeing, you know, the good things with Steve, and then when you brought Mike Heimerdinger in, it was almost like he got unlocked. There was something completely different there. How important is it to find that right offensive coach, work with the quarterback that can truly tap in to all of the potential that he has?
Well, it's extremely important. But let me say this. It's, you know, the head coach has other duties. And coach, you know, Callahan, Ryan found that out. He knew going in. But the head coach has other duties. So you, at the end of the day, you got to get the quarterback coach. That doesn't necessarily have to come from the head coach. It comes from the offensive coordinator. It comes from the quarterback coach and, the you know, everybody involved. And so, you know, I think it's kind of, you know, I mean, could you imagine if they went out and hired a defensive-minded coach after the season was over? How people would go absolutely nuts? Well, right. As long as that guy hires a good offensive coordinator, there may be some crossover. You don't know, but, you know, it's just a lot. You know, when you talk about the tension that's required and the patience and the time to bring on a young quarterback, it's extensive. And, you know, you're taken away from the head coaching duties. And so I just want to throw that out there. I mean, it happens all the time. So, you know, I just hope for Camp's sake that, you know, he's getting rid of the ball. And, you know, get rid of the ball. Don't take the hits. Get up, go scramble for a first down and slide. Don't take the hits. Get through this season and learn. You know, and we guess he's gonna, you know, week out, he's been doing this, but it's gonna change a little bit because you don't have your offensive line coach there anymore, is what I've been told. And so you have an assistant there that, you know, he's learned from the best. So hopefully he'll be able to carry on and contribute in the game planning. But you've got a quarterback there that, you know, the footwork's a little off here and there, and, you know, the pocket stuff is a little bit of a challenge just because, you know, they're not at full strength or competitive full strength up front on the offensive line. And so, you know, you got to get rid of the ball and you got to figure out what you can do. I mean, that's what Coach McCoy is doing right now. What do we do best as a team that gives us a chance to one win time of possession? Okay, that would be run it, by the way, as often as you possibly can. But two, give Cam a chance to have an opportunity to win a game at the end.
Coach, some have said if it gets really bad, set him down. The offensive line sometimes in a disarray. I disagree. I think he needs to go trial by fire. You know, the plan with Steve. He sat for 2 years, and look how wonderful he turned out. That doesn't happen anymore. But are you of the mind just let Cam fight and learn right now while he's doing this?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely I am. I think he needs to finish. But, you know, obviously things are going to change ever so slightly in the offense. I would think maybe Coach McCoy would add some stuff that's what happens when there's these kind of changes. But bottom line is, you know, defenses are going to be doing the same thing. Oh, by the way, they're going to start pressuring him a little bit. You better have some answers, you know, and those things. But as long as he's got answers and because Cam has he's got the mind and the mindset to be able to read, to be able to adjust. Now, I don't know that, you know, what they're asking him to do specifically, but, you know, I would think he sees the field pretty good. And, you know, he might be able to take a progression across the ball. I don't know. But if he is, then do some stuff that makes sense for him.
If you are Mike McCoy, you're game planning. I mean, do you keep everything status quo, Jeff? I mean, you wouldn't make a bunch of changes, will you, before the game just because you're the new interim coach?
No, keep this in mind now. You got there's a whole bunch of other players on the offense besides the quarterback. And you start making changes right now, you got problems. So, you know, you can adjust within the system. And every week there's new stuff that goes in, even with a young quarterback. So, you know, I think you subtly go in the direction that you think or Coach McCoy thinks is best for, you know, for Cam and the offense.
Coach
and
Jeff Fisher.
By the way, let's get the defense. The defense needs to, and I'm not, I think Denard's has had a big challenge, and I think he's done a respectful job. But defense and special teams got to pick it up when you got these kind of things that happen.
Yeah, for sure. Coach Jeff Fisher is with us. Coach, we always appreciate your time. We know you're busy. Congratulations on the Michigan franchise, and obviously we're excited to see the Cats in Clarksville next year.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Love talking to you. Have fun, and go Titans.
We'll talk to you soon. Jeff Fisher joining us here on the program, the commissioner of AF1, of course, with the Nashville Cats and longtime head coach of the Tennessee Titans. Good perspective from Coach Fisher on that.
He would coach.
And you asked the question.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Look, the ship sailed several years ago. I understand all that, but he would coach. A coach is a coach, man. And you see all the texts coming in. I know some people are like, no, move on. I get all that. And the chance of him coming back are nil. But he'd come back in a heartbeat.
We had this conversation of, you know, if this happened, which it did, and they went outside for an interim, he would have been top of the list to call, I think, of like, hey, we just come finish the season and see and fix this thing.
Would you not feel better if instead of Chad Brinker, there was Jeff Fisher?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would. Everybody knows Chad Brinker. You know Fisher. Everybody knows him.
And he dropped a line early in the interview that made me chuckle. Well, back then, Bud spent money. He knows. Yeah. Again.
Right.
Again.
Yes.
He knows the lay of the land. Now, I don't know how well he knows Amy, but I know he knows Amy.
Yeah, sure.
I think that is something that shouldn't be overlooked. There's people that are like, I don't want Arthur Smith because we need new blood and all that stuff. And I get that. But I think there is a little something in the devil you know.
I agree, you know? 100%.
And something to think about. 615-737-1025. Kevin Ingram, we'll talk some Vandy with him coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025 The Game.
The coach of the Tennessee Titans. I got to ask you that.
I'm sorry you're breaking up. No, I figured that was coming. You know what? I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now, and you know, I don't think anything along those lines is going to happen. If they had any interest, I think they would have been interested, you know, years ago. But I'm good. But yeah, I know you got to ask the question on behalf of a lot of curious people. I'm getting a lot of texts and a lot of emails.
That was Jeff Fisher joining us just a few minutes ago. He didn't say no.
Right?
But I do believe him when he says he's enjoying what he's doing now. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, on this Thursday live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Game day is going to be down in Athens for Ole Miss, Georgia. They've announced the guest picker. Have you seen it?
No. Let me, real quick, if I can guess. It's not Fran Tarkenton. Is it a player?
No.
Oh, God. R.E.M. Somebody from R.E.M.
Nope. It is a musician.
Oh, it is a musician. Athens, R.E.M. Black Crowes? Chris Robinson?
Nope.
What's another Athens?
I don't think you're going to get it because I'm a little confused by it.
Okay, tell me.
Somebody we know.
Tim Duggar?
Antioch.
Jelly Roll.
Yep.
Oh, my Lord.
It will be Jelly Roll.
He's got Ross teeth now. You notice that?
They're very white.
That's my favorite Friends episode. But, yeah. Wow. Okay. Good for – what's the tie-in?
I don't know. Is he a Vols fan or?
I think he's I think he's Kenny Chesney.
He's a fan of whoever asked him.
That's a great way to put it. Van Wever asks, yes.
I know he's a diehard Titans fan.
He is.
I mean, he is. He always wears the Titans hat. But college-wise, I don't know.
That doesn't make sense to me. Because there's so much musical talent in Atlanta and in Athens. I thought R.E.M. would be great. Michael Stipe. Come out and sing Man on the Moon. Or there's some other great bands that come out of Athens.
615-737-1025. Roy wants to weigh in on Jeff Fisher. Roy, what's up?
How great it was. You'll hear the great Stash talking football with you guys. I mean, the guy, there's a lot of fans that miss him, but there's a lot of fans that remember towards the end with the Vince Young saga and all the crazy stuff going on. But I'll tell you, Jeff Fisher, I went to a lot of arena football games with the Jets, and this guy is walking around with the fans. I mean, he's not just sitting up in a booth. He does not forget his fans, and he.
Oh yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. But look, Pete Carroll is still coaching, and don't think if Bill Belichick gets a bow at UNC, there's not going to be an NFL team screaming at him to come coach. It could happen, and I think it would be great. I mean, he's already built one stadium. He came here in Nashville when the stadium was open. He was with the Rams when they were transitioning to LA, then they got rid of him. I think he'd be great. He would bring a young offensive coordinator in. Let's get the Stash back. Tighten up, guys.
There you Thanks, Roy.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Roy. I really think, I mean, if you told me today that Chad Brinker is being replaced by Jeff Fisher, I think unanimously people would be like, okay, all right, yeah, I'm in. I'm good. I trust. I know what he did. Everybody's got their faults, but, I mean, that's Fisher coming back. In the opinion, it'll never happen. I get that. But,
well,
man,
remember, we had him on like a year or so ago, and it was around this time. And I think we asked him that question of, you know, would you consider doing something like that? Not the coach, but basically what Brinker does. And remember his response?
Yep.
She's got my number.
She's got my number. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that is probably more of a realistic thought.
Yeah. And by the way, Jeff Fisher would let – God bless you, buddy. Jeff Fisher would let Mike Borgonzi talk in a press conference.
Jeff Fisher would let Mike Borgonzi be the GM.
Right, he would.
I mean, I think Jeff would take that role as hey, I'm gonna run the you know perimeter and deal with Miss Amy. You run the football team. You draft the player. Now, he would have say. I mean, Jeff's not going
to. Probably not a lot, though. Do you think Brinker, to me, Brinker is Rick Moranis in Spaceballs. He just walks around thinking he's the boss, and everybody over there makes fun of him. Every single person makes fun of him. It just hit me right there because I was thinking, you know, he's going to be very demonstrative about who he is, and nobody's paying attention to Brinker.
Is this now? No, sir. It was then. This right? is now. Now? No.
Everybody would, man.
Oh, that is good. That is fantastic. So, an interesting little storyline subplot to talk about. Coming up next, Vanderbilt football hosts LSU on Saturday, but the basketball team has an exhibition game tonight against Virginia. We'll talk to Kevin Ingram, who is the voice of Vandy men's basketball and also sideline reporter for the football team. We'll talk to Kevin coming up next. 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday, Omni Nashville Hotel. Coverage beginning Saturday at 9:30 on 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt and LSU. And then on 94.9 The Fan tonight at 6:25, Vanderbilt men's basketball exhibition game against Virginia over at Memorial Gym. We say hello now to Kevin Ingram, who will be a part of both of those broadcasts. Going to be a busy couple of days for him. Kevin, what's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's going to be a really busy day. We got all kinds of stuff going on here on campus. We got a baseball exhibition game. We've got soccer. We've got volleyball. We got all of it. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next few days here.
What's the vibe with when it comes to the campus and the fact that for the I think I have this right, the first time since 1948, Vandy is a favorite against LSU with the Tigers coming to town on Saturday. That has to be pretty exciting.
It really is. I mean, it's a fun matchup. Of course, Vanderbilt played Alabama a couple weeks ago, and you know, we had an open date this past week, and there was a lot of excitement around that game down in Tuscaloosa. But, yeah, this is a really big home game. I mean, it's an important game for both these teams, especially when you talk about you now head into the back half of the season. The last six games are all against SEC opponents for Vanderbilt, and everything is still in play in terms of the bigger goals of the season for this team. But it's fun. It's going to be a fun matchup on Saturday. It should be a great crowd. It's supposed to be decent weather. And I think, you know, we can get into the elements of the game. But for Vanderbilt, it's exciting. And you come in a little bit refreshed and recharged off that open date that followed six games in 6 weeks.
Yeah, how much has there been discussion with – looking back at the Alabama game, knowing that there were some self-inflicted wounds there that are learning moments that this team can then hang their hat on of, hey, we were very much in that game. We cleaned some of this stuff up. We're going to continue to have a special season.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things coming out of that Alabama game that were like that. I mean, it felt to me like Alabama sort of beat Vanderbilt at its own game in some ways. You had the turnovers in the red zone that were just killers. And you just had the lack of sustaining extended drives, which has been a big key for Vanderbilt over the last couple seasons with Diego Pavia quarterback and Tim Beck, the offensive coordinator. Vanderbilt's been able to run the ball, sustain drives, convert on third down, all of those things, and do it really well and really at a high level through the first five games this season. But some of those things didn't happen quite as well at Alabama. Had a nice first half with Cedric Alexander scoring the touchdowns, one technically receiving and one on the long run. But, yeah, you're going to have to be able to keep that offense on the field more this week against LSU and be able to sustain those drives and give your offense a chance to put points on the board and try to shorten up the game. I mean, that's been Vanderbilt's winning formula over the last couple seasons. And Diego Pavia has ran this offense so well. But, yeah, those turnovers were killers when Vanderbilt had chances to score. And you got to clean those things up and just play more like we've seen this Vanderbilt team play. But, you know, you go back to that Alabama game, it was tied at halftime. You're right where you want to be, you know, playing a tough game on the road against an outstanding team. So, you know, maybe there are some good things that you can take away from that and some things you can clean up and, you know, and learn from that experience down in Tuscaloosa.
We're talking to Kevin Ingram of the Chase and Big Joe Show. Kevin, I love Clark Lee's press conference this week about, will Vandy fans show up? He's like, look, we've had a lot of success in new stadium. I hope they do, you know, show up. And look, I know LSU's bringing the whole state up here. I get all that. But at the same time, I think Clark tells his guys, all right, no matter what's in the stands, it's us against the world. And that mentality has worked. I like that approach because it is Vanderbilt against the world. And I think it works again on Sunday or Saturday. I just like Clark Lee's approach to these games. It's very businesslike, but behind the scenes, I just know he's just pumping these guys up.
Yeah, for sure, Joe. I mean, the crowds at First Bank Stadium this season have been terrific. And the place has been packed full of fans wearing black and gold, which is what everybody around here wants to see. And it's been really exciting. We've had great crowds. It's been really fun. But we've not played a conference home game yet. And that to me maybe is the test of what it'll look like. There will definitely be LSU fans in the house because they're just one of those traditional programs with gigantic fan bases. There's going to be some purple and gold here. But, yeah, looking forward to seeing a good Vanderbilt crowd and seeing the turnout for a conference game like this. But I think Clark, like you say, he is really good at tuning out all the noise, whatever anybody's saying or what the crowd's going to be like or any of that stuff, and just focus on the game and get the guys ready and come out and play to the best of your ability against a really high-level opponent and see what happens. But, yeah, I think it's exciting. It'll be an early start, which I think is always an interesting dynamic. You think about, like, say if the game's in Baton Rouge, you're playing a night game. I mean, that's a whole different deal from playing an 11 o'clock game at LSU. I mean, it just makes a big difference. But, yeah, all those things are kind of secondary to getting ready to play a really good team and having your guys ready to go.
What would a win mean on Saturday, Kevin, for this program? I know you make you bowl eligible, but it's LSU. It's a top 25 team. It's the first conference home game in the new stadium. I mean, I could go on and on, but you were this team every day. What would it mean if they win on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it means a lot. I mean, it's a victory over a top 10 team in your stadium, one of the best teams in the country, no question. You have to try to solve their defense, which is really hard to do. They're averaging less than 12 points a game for their opposition. Their defense has been terrific, and their offense is good, too. Nussmeier's a terrific quarterback and good pass catchers. But in the bigger picture, it does make you bowl eligible, but that's sort of the minimum for this Vanderbilt team this season. They have a lot bigger goals than just going to a bowl game again. I mean, they're thinking big. So I think more than anything, it's just another step in a positive direction for this particular team and for this program in general. But it would be a huge win. There's no question about it. Get you to 6-1 on the season with five more to go. I think it would mean a whole lot. On top of some other really big wins this season, this team's already experienced.
Kevin Ingram is with us. He'll be on the call tonight as the Vanderbilt men's basketball team hits the court at Memorial for their first exhibition game against Virginia. And look, I don't think this is unusual in today's college sports. A lot of changes on this team. You got a few guys coming back in Tyler Tanner, Tyler Nickel, and Devin McLaughlin, but several transfers coming in. What do you think about this group so far?
I've liked this group. I've seen them practice quite a bit. I was just over a shoot-around a few minutes ago. I think folks are going to enjoy watching this team play. They've added some really nice pieces, some really experienced players. One thing they've added is size, and Coach Mark Byington talked about this at SEC Media Days a couple days ago, that this team, it just felt like the lack of big guys last year really hurt. Especially when you talk about depth at the post positions. But having a guy like Jalen Washington, who's 6'10", he transferred in from North Carolina, or Mason Nicholson, a big dude that transferred here from Jacksonville State, it allows you to play Devin McLaughlin more at a four spot. It just gives you a lot more options having those big guys available to get in there and play down low. And you know, Washington's a guy who can step out. He can play outside, too. He can hit a three-pointer, maybe a stretch five sort of look, if you want to call it that. But I think having the experience of the guys you mentioned, like Devin McLaughlin or Tyler Nickel or Tyler Tanner, it's really going to help. And then you add some pieces. Duke Miles, I think, has looked really good in some of the preseason practices. He had played at Oklahoma last season. We saw him when he was there, a couple stops in his career. But I think this is a really nice roster. I like the athleticism. I like what I've seen in practice from this group. Coach Mark Byington runs a very, user-friendly system when it comes to the offense and lots of options and wants guys to shoot three-pointers and play up-tempo. So I think it's exciting and looking forward to seeing what this team's going to be like as you step out and play somebody else for the first time. Virginia comes in here tonight, and they're another team that has a lot of new faces, including a new coach in Ryan Odom.
Kevin, you're already in mid-season form, brother.
It's fun. I've done basketball around here for a long time. It's always a lot of fun to do games and get the season started. I've always looked forward to getting going. And last season was so fun. We won 20 games. We got to the tournament for the first time in a few years. And then Coach Byington just brought a lot of energy to the program. So, looking forward to seeing what year two with Coach Byington has in store for us.
I just have to say this. The fact that there is a freshman named Chandler Bing, for all the Friends fans out there,
right?
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a Ross Geller out there or anything like that. But yeah, it's funny. I was looking at his bio the other day. I was doing some prep for the game, and he said that Chandler Bing had never watched an episode of Friends, which I thought that was pretty funny.
Well, I'm pretty sure Friends was off the air before he was born,
right?
Yeah, probably so. That's a good point. It probably was off the air before Chandler was born.
You mentioned last year, and I know most coaches, you move on to this year, but it was important because I think, and you've mentioned this, you've been around this program for a long time in the city, that there was that thirst for Vanderbilt basketball to be good again. I went to five or six games. That Memorial Magic was there. They had, some really memorable wins. So even though this is a relatively new group, I have to imagine that there is that focus of, hey, let's build on the momentum that we started last year.
Yeah, no doubt. I think you're definitely looking to build on what you started last year. And it did feel like that old magic was back, especially for that whole string of Saturday home games. I mean, think of all those. There was Tennessee, there was Kentucky, there was Texas and Ole Miss and Missouri. Won all of those games, all Saturday home games. And the crowd was there, and it was super energized. And it just felt like they gave this team, or last year's team anyway, they gave them that lift that they needed to get across the finish line for all those big wins that, it went a long way in the team getting into the NCAA tournament. But there does feel like there's more buzz going into this season and more excitement. And, for a lot of years before there was big-time professional sports in this town, you talk about the Titans or Preds coming in, Vanderbilt men's basketball was one of the biggest attractions in town and had all those great teams and all those, big moments. When you think back to the 80s and the 90s too, there were so many good teams and tournament teams and Sweet 16s and all that. I'm happy to see that that's coming back and the crowds and fans have come back. And I think it'll be fun tonight. I hope we have a good turnout to see the exhibition game, which will have some fun elements to it. It won't be your traditional 220-minute halves of college basketball. It'll be a little bit different, but it's going to be some good competition as well.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and you'll hit the air at 6:25 tonight on 94.9 The Fan. So looking forward to that, and then 9:30 Saturday morning for pregame coverage of Vanderbilt LSU. Kevin, appreciate it as always. Thanks, man.
Anytime, fellas. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Ingram from the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield joining us here on the program. We'll come back, wrap it up with What Day Is It and Celebrity Birthdays live at the Omni. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Thursday. Tomorrow, Joe, we're going to be at Boston Commons.
I can't wait, my friend.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Come see us from noon to 3, our normal showtime. We'll be out there, and you have Preds tickets to give away. So much fun.
Yeah, the Reuben, the food's good, but we got tickets to give away. All the Boston fans are heading over there tomorrow, noon to 3, Boston Commons. I cannot wait tomorrow. We'll have some Boston-themed guests on. I told you earlier, Boston sports fans are the most obnoxious yet fun sports fans in the world.
We just had a Patriots fan come up and thank us for giving them Mike Vrabel back. So,
you're
again,
welcome.
This is our fault. But that is totally okay. With that, let's get to What Day Is It Celebrity Birthdays.
All right. First on the list, we have National Cut Up Your Credit Card Day. So if you have expired credit cards, just use them.
Or they just don't work.
Yeah, that too. You know. Hey, shout out to you, Chase. National Boss Day is today.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. International Shakeout Day. I'm not sure what that is, but all right. Conflict Resolution Day is today. Get to Know Your Customers good. Day. Global Cat Day. International Credit Union Day. National Department Store Day. A few more. These are just odd. National Sports Day is today.
Sports. We love that.
World Bread Day. Love some good bread. National Liqueur Day. Good liqueur. World Food Day. Love that. And last but not least, World Spine Day. So all those people that struggle with sciatica, Rex Road, you'll be all right.
Good Lord. By the way, one of the biggest fallacies in our world, the customer is not always right.
Most of the time they're wrong.
Know that. They are not
I
right.
I know this.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get them within two. Our first birthday starting off, how old is Tim Robbins, Shawshank Redemption? Tim Robbins.
Am I first?
Yes, you are.
73.
77.
67. Wow. Next up, Dr. Crane, you go first. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
62.
That's a really good guess. 61.
63. Dr. Crane's on the board. 1-0. Chase, you go now. Kelly Martin. She was on ER in that show on ABC. It was at 7 o'clock. Her brother was Corky, special needs.
Oh, yeah. 64.
70.
50. Good Lord. I can see y'all never saw that show. Dr. Crane, you're up next. Guitar player John Mayer.
45?
Well. You're asking me.
I don't know.
What is 45?
Oh, that was awesome. 43.
48.
Damn.
Chase, you go now. Bob Weir from Grateful Dead.
Who played?
With John Mayer?
Yeah, with John Mayer. That's funny. I'll say 72.
70?
78. Dr. Crane's up 1-0. Jeez. Dr. Crane, you go first. Wendy Wilson from Wilson Phillips.
Great group.
53.
Hold on for one more day, Dr. Crane. I will say she's 60.
56. Down to the last three. Dr. Green's up 1-0. Chase, you go first here. Former National Predator Paul Kariya.
One of the most important signings in Predators history.
Yes, it is.
Paul Kariya is 51.
55.
51 exactly. He's up 2-1. Dr. Crane, you go first now. Legendary women's basketball player Sue Bird.
45.
48.
45 exactly.
Wow.
Job, our last birthday. It's 3-2, Dr. Crane to Chase. Chase, you go first. Nashville resident Bryce Harper, who Chase cannot stand. Today is Bryce Harper's birthday. Chase, for the win.
Mainly because he just punishes my Atlanta Braves. Bryce is 34.
35.
34. Let me figure this out. It's 33. It's a tie.
Carry the one, Joe.
Bryce Harper is 30. And then this game, ties count.
Yep. I don't like it.
Nice job.
It is what it is. That is going to do it for us today. Thank you to the Omni Nashville Hotel, Todd and everybody for having us here at Bar Lines. Today we'll be at Boston Commons tomorrow.
Yes, we will. Listen to our message that we do every day after the show, and we're grateful for so many men who've reached out in the last 2+ years. If you are struggling, please, we need you to go talk to somebody. We can go to our website, information there. If you need to talk to somebody immediately, you can dial 988 on your cell phone. Somebody's always there. Call or text. We just need you to reach out. As we said the whole time, we want to go to your party, and that's your comeback party. We want to be there on the front row to celebrate you. We got to have you here. Know that we love you, and then know that you're doing a hell of a job, man. We love you so much, and never forget, we love you, and more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Join me for Predators pregame tonight as the Preds are in Montreal to take on the Canadiens. I'll have that for you starting at 5, but DVD with D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. That's next here on 102.5 The Game.